Welcome to Share the Best, the podcast of Top Employers Institute. In this podcast, we talk with our top employers about their world of work. My name is Patrick Grendel. I'm the host of the podcast, and today I'm speaking to Miriam Seel. Hi, Miriam.
Hi, Patrick.
You work as a talent acquisition manager, DACH and Nordics at Reckitt. Reckitt is one of our European certified top employers, and I'm very happy to have you in our podcast today. Before we go into the topic and more into the details of what we want to talk about today, would be great if you could quickly introduce yourself so that the listeners know who they are listening to in our episode today.
Yes, of course. So I'm Miriam. I'm now 3.5 years with Reckitt. At the moment, talent acquisition manager for DACH and Nordics. So I'm responsible for the whole recruitment process from attraction, sourcing, interviewing, and hiring at the end for the region DACH and Nordics. So it's including 7 countries, different kind of legal entities, and also different kind of functions. And we are a team of 3 here in Germany. And on top of the talent acquisition topic, we have also employer branding initiatives like the certification with top employers. And this is actually how we get to know each other.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we always, of course, try to reach out to our top employers, our certified top employers. And I think when we met on the event in January, we thought, let's see if we can record an episode together. And one of the interesting things, which is maybe nice already to mention now, and we will come back to that later, is that you also recorded a podcast. And that maybe if you're now listening to this podcast, you're not listening it within the Share the Best account on Spotify or your other podcast portal, but you're listening it in the Erfolgsfunk, which is the success channel, you could say, for Reckitt. So no matter where you're listening, good that you're with us and we dive into the topic. Because you mentioned already that you're not just responsible for, say, hiring, talent acquisition in Germany, but it's a bit broader. So that's also the reason why we record this session in English, of course, because it's then also interesting for more of our current top employers to listen to and to learn from. And our purpose today, and I'm already starting with the topic. Our topic today is purposeful careers at Reckitt. And I've mentioned Reckitt quite some times already, but maybe Miriam, you can tell us a bit more about who Reckitt is and where we might already know Reckitt from.
So Reckitt is a global consumer goods company, which is focusing on the areas of hygiene, health and nutrition. And I think most of our listeners might have had already some interfaces with our brands. So just to mention a few of those from our hygiene portfolio, for example, we have Finish, we have Sacrotan, we have Airwick Vanish. And on the health side, we have Durex, Veet, Aerosil. Yeah, very well known. And Strepsis, Nurofen, Gaviscon. So very widespread portfolio, I would say. And very many touch points already with consumers nowadays. And also mentioned that's a global company. So we are more than 40,000 employees worldwide from 125 different nationalities working across 68 countries. And here in DACH and Nordics, especially with the focus of Germany, we are around 800 people with 40 nationalities. So also very diverse, multicultural, and this is actually what we are very proud of.
Yeah, that sounds like 40 nationalities within 800 people. That's quite a vast number of different nationalities. Absolutely. If you think about the focus of the business in these countries, just to give our fellow HR listeners some idea of kind of the world of work you are active in, is that also a lot of production? Is that R&D? Is that marketing? Mm. Could you give us a bit of an insight in the roles you're recruiting for and people you are working with?
Yeah, so actually we have 2 commercial subsidiaries in health and hygiene, meaning the focus here is on sales, marketing, e-com, but also supply, finance, and of course HR. But also on the other hand, we have in Heidelberg our global R&D center for the brand Finish. So we are developing products for the whole world. So a lot of R&D scientists, for example. But we have also a production site close to Heidelberg on Cookie Dent and also, of course, these kind of profiles we are looking for. So very, very diverse also on this side.
Okay, so not only nationalities, also the roles you are hiring for, you're looking for is from all the way. Let's say one side of the white color to blue color.
Yeah.
You all have it. You have it in your portfolio. I think that's nice to hear. And when we go into the detail of what we're talking today, I think that's becoming even more important because we want to talk about purpose. And as we know, I would say in HR, but all of us working in the world of work, that purpose is becoming more and more important. And I think we all agree that the kind of companies need to work for their clients and for what the needs are in the market. But if you look and you turn around to being more employee centric, then it's not just an hygiene factor, right? It's something that is very crucial for new talent to join a company and to understand what the company's purpose is, but also what the individual purpose of each and every one of us within that company can be. So if we start with your personal perspective and start with Reckitt, what is the purpose that you have developed from Reckitt perspective?
So I think we have different kind of interfaces how we see purpose. So first of all, purpose is already in our mission because we are in the fight or mission for a cleaner and healthier world, which is a right actually and not a privilege to all of the people in the world. So that's mm-hmm. our mission. And here we already have a very strong purpose. And then on the next side, we have for each of our brand, we are focusing on one global sustainable goal. And there's also a big brand purpose beneath that brands. For example, just to point out maybe two of our brands for Finnish, we have a big Save the Water campaign where we actually educate and address the need to save water to our consumers to not rinse first the dishes, but actually put them already in the dishwasher because our products are strong enough.
I heard something about 24 billion liters of water being wasted through that. I don't know what the geography was, but unbelievable. Yeah,
it's crazy. And here, I think we already tried to educate the consumer here on this side to bring really that purpose to life. And then, for example, to take another example, we have Durex with our sexual health and well-being purpose. First of all, to educate, of course, around sexual disease, but also sexual pleasure for all of the people. So also very diverse communication here. We are also now supporting since last year the Christopher Street Day parade and really show that we as a company also stand behind the LGBTQ plus community, just to mention here on some examples for brand purpose. And then another, let's say, pillar to how we interpret purpose internally is our purpose council. This is, let's say, a very diverse group also of people around different kinds of functions, which actually invest in different kind of social, sustainable project. And I think we will talk later a little bit more in depth, but also to give something back our employees itself, right? And I think purpose at the end for me, and I think most of the employees, means to have a meaning at work, to do something meaningful, to know actually why we are doing what we do every day, and helps us also to guide us through decisions and tricky situations.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, this North Star of knowing why you're doing it and where you're heading as a company, but also as a person. You said in the beginning, I mean, globally, you are way more than 800 people that you're talking about here. So knowing that you're not just this little cog in the machine, but that you're like a part of making sure that the company is moving into that direction. Very nice, the connection with the UN goals as well.
Yeah.
Maybe one step back, because I mean, I'm aware I'm talking to a talent acquisition person. So what? How does this purpose come to life in your conversations with new talents? Is that something that is always asked for? Is it something that you are consciously presenting? If you think about now talking to someone starting, for example, in talent acquisition, what's your experience and what would you share with them as a best practice?
So first of all, I mean, I work in talent acquisition since 3.5 years now. Mm-hmm. And actually, the number of questions like, how would you describe your culture? What initiatives do you actually have to give something back, also on society, sustainability. So these questions and topics get more and more in our interview discussions. Mm-hmm. But also, actually, that's questions we are asking back to candidates, because we also want to have people in our company who can connect to our culture, best in case also have the same ambition and passion for purpose as we have as a company. But yeah, also a lot of people are mentioning when they look at our website, they see all of our purpose initiatives and they say, wow, I saw that you engage in this project or this project, and how come and how can I be part as an individual of that? Because I think every company has always some, let's say, sustainable or societal objectives as a company, mm-hmm. but as an individual, it's always hard to actually feel the impact of doing something purposeful at work. And with the Purpose Council that we have, but also really the strong connection from our brands, it actually feels every day like you are giving something back. And that's actually a lot questions coming up around this topic. And this is also why candidates, especially, let's say, Generation Z, now the new generation on the job market, is choosing actually an employee nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned it a couple of times, the Purpose Council. So let's go into that, because I think that's the big example that we want to share today. Before we go into the details, can you tell us a bit about how this came to be there? I mean, the Purpose Council, there was most likely a time in a day where it wasn't in place, where there was maybe a purpose developed, but yeah, there was not really kind of a next step or a connection to the people. So thinking about someone who might have just finished its purpose as a company or as an HR team, how did you arrive and how did this Purpose Council was developed?
So actually, our internal Purpose Council started 2020, so not long ago, when we had COVID and of course needed all to start working remotely. This was of course a very special situation for all of us. And yeah, so the Purpose Council then came to life and helped a lot of employees to navigate through COVID, through digital offerings, connectings, learnings, and also anchoring why we actually what's the purpose of our daily work today. Because I think COVID was a very tough event in many people's life, and a lot of people were asking themselves, okay, so what's the purpose now? What am I doing at work, and how can I give something back? And that's actually how this Purpose Council started. And also thought, okay, what kind of focus area we can look as employees. So to sum it up, it was intrinsic motivation and also out of a need to connect, to collaborate, and to give something back, to collect also some money for some of the social project going on at this time. For example, of course, Sakrotan was a very important brand at this time. A lot of donations happened to school and to people in need. And that's how it started, actually.
And what do you think? Because you mentioned already a bit that of course it was a difficult time, so it was a good moment for people to kind of to connect on another level, kind of elevating, like, being co-workers to really working together for that council or for that purpose. But why do you think that didn't develop before? Was connected to the fact that we were all kind of literally in the same room all day, so there was automatic a perception of connection? Or was that because the purpose was more visible, so we didn't feel to have the need for kind of a group working on those initiatives? I'm asking, and I'm just going to give you the background of my question is, yeah. Sometimes when we talk about COVID and talk about the change in the world of work, then sometimes the questions come, okay, do we lose track of our culture? Do we lose track of our purpose? Because we are not in this room all day, 8 hours per day, every day. What's your opinion on that? Is that connected or is that...
Yeah, I think it might be connected to that. I mean, purpose and also culture was much more tangible and visible, and you could see it in the office, in the coffee corners, etc. I mean, before COVID, it was really like 5 days a week meeting in the office. And then it was rapidly like everyone working remotely. And I think this was such a hard cut for everyone. Yeah, that they couldn't feel that connected anymore. And yeah, the culture was also not that visible, of course, anymore. And you needed to establish some kind of network to stay connected, to still engage with each other and find ways to still feel that culture while you actually chose that company before. So I think that was the impact of COVID for our purpose culture.
Yeah. And then it was set up as an idea, as something that someone top down said, all right, we need a council, now people can apply, or did it grow organically from something else? What was the way forward?
So it grew organically, and I mean also to mention, I mean, purpose and culture is always in people's minds, it's always linked mostly to HR, right? And actually, the Purpose Council is a project of people from all of the functions. Mm-hmm. So everyone came together and we're thinking, okay, what is it from our culture? What do I want to stand for? And then it developed 5 pillars also where you would like to concentrate. First one is brand purpose. There were a lot of marketeers, of course, which had already this brand purpose, but could it make it more visible now in this Purpose Council also for internal employee? Then we have one pillar for social impact, one for diversity and inclusion, one for sustainability, and one for well-being. And then as the strategy was built around what do we want to stand for as Purpose Council and what are the pillars we would like to work for, of course, then the smaller groups came together for the different kind of pillars and we're thinking, okay, what's the target for the next year? What kind of workshops or initiatives do I want to achieve during our time here? And then it was slowly growing to something super, super big. So actually around a whole Reckitt, Purpose Council started to come alive actually and start to connect. And also a lot of managers and also our board was involved, and they took place in all of the calls and workshops. And then it was driven also from both sides, actually, which is also super nice that something from bottom up did grow.
And then also gets leadership and endorsement, because I guess then after maybe kind of a more creative starting up and there's a lot of enthusiasm, it also needs kind of a thumbs up from the top, you could say, that everyone sees, all right, this is not just something that grew because we needed it at the time, but something that is appreciated and also kind of recognized by leadership. Because you mentioned like there's a lot of councils now, and do you have any idea how many people are involved at the moment?
I mean, for our, let's say, local purpose initiatives, we have around 800 people collaborating on our purpose initiatives, so actually taking part also in the workshops, etc. I mean, a smaller number, of course, is driving these initiatives in the Purpose Council. But let's say the leverage effect is so super, super big. And we have, for example, 2 big days where we actually celebrate our initiatives all together. For example, the next day, which is coming up, is our annual community day. It's something where we just focus on external NGOs and local partnerships in that space, actually out of the social impact pillar. So, for example, for one day, we help a refugee center to rebuild, elderly homes, kindergarten, Red Cross project, Caritas project. And so we could register as an employee for these kind of projects. And then we meet at 9 a.m. and try to finish as much as possible during that day. We get one day, give time, as we call it. So giving something back. So a social day where we are not working, but actually doing something purposeful.
That sounds great. And good that you make that note about the give time day, because I think that's And again, being aware that we are talking within our little HR community here, of course, the question then always comes, so how are we going to do it? Because I think the idea is great, but people are going to spend time on this, and we all agree this is absolutely purposeful. let's use the word that it absolutely makes sense. But are there other models or other rules, to use the word, in place that you say, okay, these are really making it work? Because with these kind of this framework that we gave to everyone, that we shared with everyone, we enable those R&D research colleagues the same way as we enable someone working on the production to really join. Maybe you can give some practical, how do I set this up at my company?
I think first there needs to be the acceptance and tolerance, especially from the management team and the buy-in from HR side. So what we have is to have two give time days, how we call it, or social days, you can call it also like that, where we say as an employer, when you engage in some of, I don't know, social sustainability project, you get a day free. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a starting point to think that way. But also, I mean, we don't have like only full day events, like the community day or the purpose day, which is an example for our internal employee. But we have also, let's say, smaller workshops around that. For example, we have donation where we collect donations. So everyone bakes cake or cookie or whatever, and we donate for social projects going on. And a huge donation amounts also came together. So for example, for Turkey and Syria earthquake, and also for the Gaza war, we collected 11,000 euros. So it's huge. Yep. And I think there's a lot of acceptance, but also passion from all of the employees. And I think if you have that passion from the employees and the buy-in from the management, you can succeed in making this become real, actually. And maybe start with some small, for example, we have also trash collection around the office, where we also want to make visible how much trash we actually leave on the street. And this is something you can do 1 or 2 hours maybe on a working day. And then you also see the impact on the employees. What is it doing with them? I think you can start small and then it becomes bigger and bigger. And this is also what happened to us. It started with some small project here and there. And now we have, as I said, this community day, this one day, and we have the purpose day, which is, let's say, more for our internal employees, where we have workshops around purposeful initiatives, inspiration talks. I'm also looking for development, focus on development, and really sharing ideas. So I think you always have to start small, and then it grows bigger and bigger if you have the people standing behind of that.
Sounds great. I think that's a very wise tip to start with something with you have to start with an engaged bunch of people that really want to push forward and then get the rest going with you. One more practical question that's just burning in my head, because I can imagine when then this purpose council is set up and people can kind of apply most likely or ask to join the council. Is there an application process, or how do you kind of decide? Because you talked about the five pillars, so there's most likely like smaller subgroups, and then there's a core group. How do you decide who and gets in? Sounds a bit bad, but who's gonna be able to join for a year, or is that longer? What's the tenure? Maybe just to get a last few practical things.
I mean, the Purpose Council is organized like a little company itself, right? So we have a head of the Purpose Council. He's responsible for structure, for mission, for vision, really more on the strategic side, but also, of course, being a part of some initiatives we have. And then we have for each of the pillar also a leader, someone who managed that. And so, of course, always at the beginning, we ask people, okay, who wants to join the Purpose Council. We set up a new strategy for this year, or more like an activity plan for the year. And then people can like reach out to the pillar heads and to the head of Purpose Council. And then, of course, there's also transparent talk. Okay, what time you need to also invest from your side, besides some projects you might have from the business side, and also what's the expectation, maybe to be clear on that, and understand also the motivation someone wants to join, and then you become part of it. And then there are regularly meetings throughout the year. They meet up. We have also a newsletter for the people, where we see what kind of project they're working on, where you can register already. So
okay, so it's kind of
structured.
I wanted to say it's a mix of, you have to just stick your hand up and say, hey, I want to join, and also a match on, okay, what are we working on? What are the opportunities? But interesting, you said that it's actually. Because it sounds so informal, but of course, in order for it to be successful, you have to have some kind of formality. You have to have some decision making, prioritization, a mission and a vision. Really interesting. If we want to touch upon one more example, because we already talked about the fact that if you listen to this, you might be listening in the Erfolgsfunk channel, not just in the Share the Best account. So, this podcast, Erfolgsfunk, it was also a project coming from the Purpose Council, or was it just a kind of a purpose-led project?
Yeah, you can call it also this way. But it was actually a project which was from our employer branding group. So it's also an interdisciplinary group with our head of communication. And us as a talent acquisition team. So our objective is always to look out, okay, where are touch points for our target groups? And of course, these are changing. So we did an target group insights analysis, where we checked, okay, what are actually places where people inform themselves and look out for jobs, but use in their daily life, actually. And I mean, it's first social media, of course, so that's, of course, one thing you need to focus on when you would like to attract people, but also actually podcasts. So this become super, super huge, I think, the last years. People tend to listen to podcasts while they drive to work, when they sit in the train, everywhere. And of course, the reading of newspaper or magazines is rapidly reducing. So this is why we thought, okay, out of this analysis, it's a relevant touch point for our target group, especially on Gen Z, because we would like to focus also on future talents out there, especially as we have trainee programs and also internships, and also for the young professionals. And that's why we started to think, okay, maybe we should use podcasts as one of the medium to inform our future talents about us. And I think a lot of employers just do a podcast and talk about themselves, but we wanted to do something else, actually. So, of course, we were working together with a PR agency to get also some insights and ideas. And we were brainstorming as an employer branding team together. And then it became clear we don't want to be the only one represented in a podcast. We want to do a podcast together with current voices from Gen Z, and also real employees from our side. So have the best of both worlds in that podcast. And this is how we started, and it becomes actually real last year.
And then not that I'm an expert, but so at least we have done our fair share of recording, and I have to say the mix in your podcast. So if you're listening on the top employer side now, please check out Erfolgsfunk if you're listening, if you're capable of German language at least, because indeed, like you mentioned, it's a nice mix of experts and also very personal stories from within Reckitt. And looking at the time, we will not have the time to go into all the details of the podcast, but maybe if you could just zoom in quickly on what you think made it successful in the end, because I know if someone is listening now and they're maybe in a project with employer branding, they're thinking about doing a podcast, maybe there are some success criteria that you can can share with the listeners from your experience?
Yeah, I think one success factor was actually having a mixture of experts from that topics. Also, the topic selection was crucial, right? So we were thinking, what's actually on top of Gen Z's mind at the moment when looking for a job? And it was topics around also purpose, of course, also career tips, personal liberation. So really many topics around what's currently going on in their minds. And then we were looking, okay, I mean, coming back to social media. So social media also plays a crucial role for this generation. So they have also a lot of influencers they might also follow already for these kind of topics. And then we were looking, okay, what influencers or experts we are choosing for the different kind of episodes to make it also real, to have also an expert on this field, which they might already know. And then having also someone or an expert from our side as Racket in the call to make it also practical, to understand, okay, what might be theoretical, the topics, and how are we actually looking at this from Racket perspective.
Okay. I think that's very, very useful, because what you say is focus on your target group. I think that's also something when I look at the core business of Racket, something that comes back in the fact that you, of course, also very marketing driven. So make sure you know what Gen Z wants to listen to and then combine external with internal. So I also see some links there to great employer branding, I have to say. If you think about the real deal and your real employer brand, I think that's something very, very good to start with. So let's draw a kind of a line under the content part here. Maybe just to go back to the beginning, because we talk about purpose a lot. You shared a lot about the Purpose Council, and I always try to also have some handles for those who are listening, where maybe they're very at the beginning of the purpose journey at their company. So if you think back maybe 4 years, and I gather Racket had a purpose before. It's just the Purpose Council that was added. But if you would now talk to a fellow HR colleague and just give some ideas of some tips on where to start, how do you make this purpose come alive? Because what I hear back with everything you share today is that it's not just about writing that purpose down, but it's making it a crucial part of every step of the employee journey. So if someone wants to do that, maybe is there one or two things you would advise them to start with tomorrow?
So as the Purpose Council was an example from actually intrinsic motivation from our employees itself and was driven up bottom up. So my tip would be actually to listen to the people in the organization, to stay connected to them, to understand what are topics, challenges, which are on top of their mind, which are bothering them, but also at the same time motivating them. What is actually the cultural values that we would like to live for as a company? And I mean, you would understand it either to actually talking to different kind of people from HR side, but also if you have some surveys, some employee listening surveys going around, you could also integrate some questions here. But what I would like to mention is purpose will not come when you strategically want to drive it from top down. It has only a chance to live if really the people stand behind that. And it needs to happen from the people. They need to feel it. And it's also growing organically through societal changes to developing around the world. And I think the topics we had when we start the Purpose Council, I mean, the pillars more or less stayed the same, but also how we interpreted different kind of topics changed throughout the year. And I think it's just important as an employer to give them a platform where they can meet maybe, where they can exchange on those topics and start a conversation with them.
Nice. That's a tip everyone can use. Conversation, listen to your people and make sure it's not something that you just put out there, but it's something that's done together, that's done based on the input of your employees. Thank you very much, Miriam. We are at the end of our content piece. And as you know, and maybe the listeners know, we are now switching to our little quick questions, quick answer model. We don't want to let you go before we don't get to know you a bit better at the very end of this podcast. I have four questions for you, and the first one is maybe an easy one for you. Is what is your favorite racket product?
Good question. Actually, let's start with maybe the first product, which was at my heart, and it was actually Finnish. So I started working in HR in the R&D center, and I would never imagine that I have this kind of passion for a brand like Finnish for the dishwasher detergents. But actually, I love it, and I like to talk to my friends about it.
Really an ambassador.
And now actually I really love the brand Durex because it became so cool on the initiatives they are driving, especially around the LGBTQ community. And I'm super proud to work for a company which is like putting themselves out to be that open and inclusive. And
nice. Thank you very much. Next question. 4-day week or a sabbatical month every year?
I think I would vote for the sabbatical every year.
All right. Any idea where your first month would go? Any destinations?
I think I would always try to choose another continent if we go year by year. And I would also try to choose to really go in countries which I haven't been before and really discover the culture and the language.
All right. Yeah. Next one, kind of connected to holidays, winter or summer?
Actually, winter, I would say.
Okay. Well, because you're a winter sports enthusiast, or what's the...
No, not really winter sports, but I love Scandinavia. I love the Nordic countries, and that's why winter is beautiful.
then you're lucky having Nordics in your job title.
Exactly.
That sounds good. Okay, last one. A podcast, or the next podcast after this one, is it going to be TikTok for Generation Alpha, or what's the next project?
Yeah, I mean, TikTok is the topic we also look into. But yeah, let's see. I'm super open to find new topics around that. But yeah, I mean, TikTok can be one, but also I think it's becoming more and more relevant is ChatGPT and AI tools. So something around that area.
Okay, cool. Thanks for the open answers. And thanks again for being here with us, Miriam, today. It was very insightful. Very nice to learn a bit more about how purposes live at Racket. As always, we have this one moment at the end of the podcast where you can push a final statement out into the world to your fellow HR colleagues or all listeners. So the floor is yours.
Regarding purpose, as I already mentioned, I would listen to the people in your organization, give them a platform to really live cultural values as they see it. And regarding the podcast, I would give a tip to always try something unconventional and try something new, and you learn a lot of these kind of projects.
Thanks, Miriam. With this one, we end this episode of this podcast, and it's nice to talk about a different podcast for a change. Thanks, everyone, to listen to today's episodes. Thanks for staying with us until here and today. As always, if you have questions, if you have topics you would want us to touch upon, please feel free to reach out LinkedIn or through the email address that's in the show notes. And from my side here, have a great day wherever you listen, and hear and speak soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.